How can we, as Christians, understand UFOs? We're going to talk about that right now with Dr. Sam Lamerson. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Dr. Sam Lamerson is the president of Knox Theological Seminary. And Sam, this is kind of a strange topic as far as UFOs. I mean, I don't believe they exist, but what are your thoughts? And ultimately, we want to, you know, try to understand what the Bible says about such phenomenon.
Certainly, it is a strange thing, but there are so many people who believe that they've been abducted by UFOs or harmed by UFOs that at the very least we ought to think about it. And I think the truth is that everyone believes in UFOs to the extent that anything that we see in the sky is an unidentified flying object. So that when I take my glasses off, everything in the sky is a UFO. We can't tell what it is. But that doesn't in any sense mean that it came from outer space or that there's some sort of space alien piloting the craft. I think that the truth of the matter is that while we don't know for certain whether there might be aliens or beings that live on another planet in some other star system, we can't know that for certain. It seems unlikely based on a couple of things. One is something called the Drake equation, and the Drake equation essentially takes all of the mathematical formulas having to do with life on outer space, puts them together, and comes up to determine what the probability is, and the probability is pretty slim. And there's another paradox, and that is if people live on another planet, and if they are much more, they're much higher or sharper or smarter than we are, how come they're not here telling us what we need to do? They're just flying around abducting people in the night and doing, you know, horrible kinds of experiments on people. Well, there probably are a variety of causes for a person believing that they've been abducted. One is certainly mental issues. People who are fantasy prone often think things are happening when they're not happening as a result of different kinds of medical issues. A second option is that the government may be involved. I mean, the most famous UFO crash is at Roswell, and I'm pretty certain that a spaceship didn't crash at Roswell, but I'm also pretty certain that the government lied about what was exactly going on there, because in 1947, they told us that it was a weather balloon. Then in 1997, they said, well, it wasn't really a weather balloon. It was a secret spy balloon from Project Mogul. So we know that they have at least lied once about what exactly happened there. And there are certainly things that the government deserves to and needs to keep secret.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't say that a lot of things that are done on behalf of the government need to be kept secret. A free and informed citizenry is what we're really after. So some of this may be the government. The government certainly can do things in secret that we don't know about. A third, and I think this is probably the biggest category, are people who have been hypnotized by so-called abduction experts. And what we've come to learn is that memories that occur to you under hypnosis when you're out from hypnosis are as real as if they'd really happened, sometimes more real than they really happened. And so some abduction experts, like Bud Hopkins or other abduction experts, Dr. Jacobs, any of those so-called abduction experts, they hypnotize people and then lead them in understanding and remembering some kind of an alien abduction experience. And then once that happens, it's in their memory, and it's as if it really happened. Whether it really happened in time and space or not, it happened in their memory, and they can't get away from it. And that's a very dangerous thing. But the fourth, I think, and probably the most dangerous kind of UFO abduction experience is a very dark experience. And I'm convinced that at least some of this may be due to the evil one and his evil beings that follow after him, that is Satan and his legion of followers. And we realize, of course, that they have a variety of things that they can do. And we realize that the New Testament calls Satan the god of this world. And so he has a fair amount of power. We also realize, I believe, that the the evil one, Satan, would much rather us believe in extraterrestrial aliens than he would have us believe in him. It was, I think, C.S. Lewis who said the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was in getting us not to believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
And so in our culture, our scientific culture, it's far easier for a person to believe that someone came and took them from another planet than it is to believe that there's an evil being who goes around trying to work harm to us and may indeed be involved in some of these kinds of events.
Does the Bible in any place indicate anywhere the idea that life exists beyond what's on planet Earth?
Well, of course, in the sense that God exists and angels exist and the evil one exists and demons exist and those kind of things. But in terms of life like we have, it doesn't. The most obvious place where UFO fanatics usually, for lack of a better word, what we usually point is Ezekiel 1, where Ezekiel sees that image of a wheel within a wheel, and he's just seeing a vision there. But he's not seeing a vision of a flying saucer. He's seeing a vision of a chariot wheel. And Babylonian chariot wheels often had one wheel inside of the other. And so Ezekiel is not seeing something that we would in any sense equate with a flying saucer. And there's nothing in the text of the Bible that would indicate that life, that what we call life, exists on any other planet.
Now, talking about that wheel within the wheel, they're both aligned with each other. In other words, it's not like one is, at 180 degrees different from the other part of the wheel, correct?
Right. It's just like
like a spokes or something.
Tire,
yeah.
Example.
Okay. Good. Good. Yeah. That makes perfect sense. All right. Now, what about the idea that Jesus himself, since he is from above, and he was divine, and he came to earth, and he, endured the shame and so forth. He lived a perfect life, died for us, and then when he, after he rose from the dead, eventually, after appearing to his disciples, he ascended into heaven. There is an encounter here with the divine, the supernatural, that intersects with our world. And in a sense, this is almost, greater than anything Steven Spielberg could ever make.
Yeah, there's certainly, depending on how we want to interpret the term extraterrestrial, we can say that Jesus was an extraterrestrial because he didn't come from Earth. His inhabitant, he was not a person who was born here on Earth in the sense that he existed pre-incarnately, even from the time that he was born to Mary. But what most people mean by extraterrestrial is not God and Jesus and the angels and the demons. They mean some kind of alien that comes from another planet.
Okay. Have you seen the movie Expelled, hosted by Ben Stein?
I have read about it, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, it's worth seeing. At the end of the movie, he gets an interview with Richard Dawkins.
Oh, I did see. Yes, I'm sorry. I did see that. Yes.
Okay, yeah. And in that interview, Dawkins actually admitted, he said, oh, look, the human cell is so complicated. There's no way it could have just developed on its own. But I believe what happened was life from other planets was seeded, S-E-E-D-E-D, somehow into this planet. And that's what created it. It's not God. It's, and then they show Ben Stein's face and he's saying, and you hear his thoughts, did he just say aliens? You think of outer space, but comment on that. I mean, I think there's a fantastic, or not fantastic, it's just like fascinating interchange there. If anything else, it just shows you that Dawkins admits
there's a lot of intelligent design here
in the creation.
It also shows us that all Dawkins has done is push the problem back one level. Because you still have to ask the question, okay, if they came from aliens, where did the aliens get the cell?
Yeah.
It doesn't solve the problem. But more than that, I think it goes to the length at which Dawkins is willing to go to simply argue that God does not exist. He's willing to go to the lengths of saying that we may have been what some have called panspermia, that is, that we've been seeded by some other alien race that existed and kind of brought us here, and then they left us, and left us, depending on how you want to interpret the myth, some say they left us as slaves, a variety of things. But it's just, the question, of course, to Dawkins is, you say that you're scientific and you say that you're evidence-based, but where in the world would you think that the aliens got the technology to bring those cells here to Earth and to let them, and how did they know that they were going to grow up into human beings like that? It just doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, what percentage of Americans would you guesstimate do believe in extraterrestrial life or UFOs or
I read an article in the Skeptical Inquirer, which is a magazine of the skeptical community, and fascinating in some ways, very angering in others. But they argue that over 50% of the people in the United States believe that life exists on other planets.
I had no idea it was that high. I would have thought maybe more like 25%, since that's the percentage of how many people believe in reincarnation.
And of course, it depends on how you ask the question and all of that kind of thing.
But well, I mean,
if somebody said to you, "Do you believe it's possible that life exists on other planets?" I would say, "Well, it's remotely possible, but certainly not within the realm of you know, mathematical probability."
Yeah. All right. What else should be said about this topic from a Christian perspective?
Well, I think that there are a couple of interesting people who do research in this area. One of them is Mike Heiser, and if you want to know more about UFOs in the Bible, Mike Heiser is the only other scholar that I know of who does work in this area. And he has a variety of blogs and some books. And essentially what Heiser says is that it may be that some of these people who think they're being abducted are actually being taken in some spiritual way by evil beings. And there are a few people, when they work with abductees, they get them to accept Christ as their Savior, and then the abductions stop. It's a very interesting thing. Another interesting thing about the alien abductees is that in the vast, vast majority of cases, they speak against Christ being God. Ooh. Whenever they speak about any kind of religion, they will tell them, the abductees, that Christ isn't God. They never tell them that Buddha isn't God, or that, you know, Allah isn't God. It's always the Christian Bible and the Christian God against which they're attacking. Now, that may be because we are a nation that knows about Christianity, but it could also be because that is the truth against which these evil beings are trying to fight.
That makes sense. All right, Sam Lamerson, thank you so much for weighing in on this. So at the end of the day, in fact, maybe you can give us a concluding thought here, but at the end of the day, when a friend says, "Oh, I believe in UFOs," what's a good Christian response to that?
Well, I think, first of all, we want to be kind and gracious, and we want to say, "Well, what do you mean by UFOs? And have you done much study on the topic? And do you think that the Bible has anything to say about that?" I think all of those are good questions. And if someone wants to say, "Well, I think that there could be life on other planets," well, okay, maybe there is. But at the very least, we have no indication of it in the Scripture.
Yeah. And at Knox Seminary, we'll end on this note, knoxseminary.edu, you don't teach people about UFOs, you teach people about the Word of God, correct?
Absolutely. My job here at Knox Seminary is to teach New Testament Greek. So if you'd like to learn to read the New Testament in Greek, you can come to Knox Seminary and I'll be the one that teaches you.
All right. Dr. Sam Lamerson, knoxseminary.edu. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.